Welcome back to Redefined Fitness, guys. I'm Kelsey Wells. I am excited because today's episode is all about love. It is Valentine's Day or Valentine's Week, depending on how quickly we can get this uploaded. But I felt it was really important to do an episode surrounding Valentine's Day and love, and of course, most particularly self-love. This is an episode that I wanted to record last year and I couldn't quite get to it, but I wanted it to happen this year because I've got some things to say regarding the topic. I think obviously it goes without saying that this time of year and this holiday in particular can be a bit lonely for a lot of people. It can be hard. It can be very charged, as with any holiday, with a lot of emotion and not all of those positive. For anyone experiencing everything from true heartbreak or the depths of grief to just loneliness or missing someone or feeling isolated, it's all very valid and it's all very real. So if you are feeling any of those types of ways today, I want to send you so much love and remind you that you are not alone. I know that this topic might come weird, seeing as how I am so lucky enough to have my partner and have met my life partner when I was just 17 years old. And there's not a day goes by that I'm not so incredibly grateful. And the more life I live, the more aware I become and the more grateful I am for how rare what Ryan and I share seems to be. But that said, he was my very first Valentine at 17. And all through those pivotal years of middle school and high school, I was very much alone. I hated Valentine's Day. I mean, I loved it because I'm just in my soul such a romantic, but I hated it because I never had anyone. I never had a Valentine. And I do want to give a shout out to my mom, who every single year would send me a rose. Our school did this thing where you could send like Valentine grams to people. And my mom every year would sign up and buy a rose to be sent to me during one of my classes at school from a secret admirer. And I always knew that it was her, but it always meant so much to me. So for the parents, and another thing that my mom did, my mom always made Valentine's Day very special, and she actually didn't make it about her and my dad and their love and marriage, which was always such a great example to me. But Valentine's Day in our home, it was a fun, exciting holiday to look forward to because every year my parents stayed home and my mom baked a beautiful homemade meal and she baked a beautiful heart-shaped chocolate cake and would set the table really special and pretty and have a card and like a little candy for each kid, like a Valentine just from her and my dad. And we'd sit at the table together and it just felt so special. And being included in that Valentine's tradition in my home, it kind of mitigated whatever I was feeling outside of my home. Any loneliness that I felt or being on the outside, especially when most of my close friends had boyfriends or Valentines or crushes, I still looked forward to Valentine's Day because of the love that my parents would create and the special memories that they brought into our home. And so as a mom, I do the same thing now with Anderson. He's 9, going to be 10 in March, which is wild. I say that every time I bring it up, but I just can't get my head around it. But Ryan and I do the same. We celebrate Valentine's by going on a date either before or after, but we always make it a point to be as a family on Valentine's Day. And I do the same tradition. I try to cook or I order in one of our favorite meals and I set the table special and Anderson and I dip chocolate covered strawberries. And we usually have some family members over who don't have anywhere to be or friends. And we just have a lovely meal together. And it's a beautiful family tradition that now we carry on. And so as a parent, I kind of want to have a caveat and say, you have such an opportunity and capacity to make this day special for your children. And doing so is more powerful than you may think, no matter what age your kids are. So grateful to my mom. And that is a part of motherhood that I thoroughly love and enjoy. All of that to say, as I grew up, it got harder, obviously, to feel alone during this time of year. And I had some pretty negative experiences in my life, from being teased to the special outfit that I like agonized over picking out to wear to being fake asked to the sweetheart's dance by somebody and then rocking up to school and realizing that that person did indeed not ask me and it was a prank, and different things that were pretty shitty to go through as a teenager and felt really, really like big deals when I was in high school. But I always think about something that my older sister told me, and I may have shared this here on the podcast before. I can't remember if I have, but it's worth reiterating even if that's the case. My older sister, Jessica, she was the opposite of me in high school. She always had a boyfriend. Whatever boy she liked, always liked her back. I don't think she ever spent a Valentine's Day alone. And I would always just think like, wow, if just this person that I had a crush on liked me back, then I would be happy. Life would be so fun. It would be so good. And I remember one night expressing that to her. I was sitting on her bathroom counter and she was getting ready for bed. And I remember just being exasperated and kind of like venting and throwing that out there. And she like stopped what she was doing and looked at me and she was like, Kels, that's not true. And I was like, you wouldn't understand. You don't know. And she said, I do know that it is not a boy that would ever make you happy. If you're not happy without one, you won't ever be happy with one. And she was very wise beyond her years. Obviously, that's absolutely the case. Relationships can enhance our lives so much, but especially I think it's so important for women to understand that there is so much joy and happiness and fulfillment in all kinds of relationships, from friendships to your familiar relationships, and most importantly, your relationship with yourself. So this episode is going to be centered around self-love. And more particularly, I'm going to take you guys through a list that I have compiled of 10 ways that you can show yourself love this Valentine's Day, or honestly, anytime. These are things that I have done in the past or do regularly that I feel like have really helped me repair my relationship with myself. I want to say some of them might sound a little bit weird or cheesy, but it doesn't have to be for you, right? There's going to be a list of 10, take what resonates and leave the rest. But if there's something that you're wondering about, I would urge you to give it a try, because you never know how much something might impact you until you give it a shot. And I think lots of these things can be quite formative and powerful. If you didn't listen to season one of this podcast, please go do so. But if you did, you'll understand that I lived for a long time in my life, especially early adulthood, with a very toxic relationship with myself. And I used to think that that didn't really matter because of the relationship that I thought I had with my higher power and that I had with my husband. I felt like it didn't really matter if I cared about me or what I thought about me. And it does. It always matters. And there was a long time in my life where I felt like I couldn't imagine what it would feel like to see me through my husband's eyes. And when I think about that in the reverse, if I feel like I would give anything for Ryan to see himself, or my sister to see herself, or my mom to see herself through my eyes. And I think if you think about someone that you love more than anything, someone so close to you, the love you have for them, like you can feel it even when you're not around them, just bringing them to mind, you're overwhelmed by that love. And wouldn't it be phenomenal if you could gift that to them? If they could only see themselves how you see them and feel for themselves the love and beauty and joy that you see in them for themselves. But we can't do that. And that's hard, but also it's so important that we do this kind of work and that we look at, first of all, draw awareness to our relationship with ourselves, and then also accept wherever that is, and then take action to strengthen and change our relationship with ourselves, how we speak to ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we treat ourselves, if it is in a place where it is negative or harmful or strained or an absolute backseat in our lives. I know from a very firsthand experience many firsthand experiences, that you can absolutely love someone truly without really loving yourself. You've heard a lot the quote that you only can ever love someone else the capacity you have to love yourself. And I don't think that that's true. I know that I loved Ryan and that I've loved many people in my life far before I could really love myself. And that's really hard. That's hard to reconcile. But now being where I am in my life, I can see that loving the right people and surrounding myself with goodness and love helped me be able to open the door to see and believe in myself. And regardless whether you are fortunate enough to have people in your life, parents, siblings, friends, partners who love you and see you the way that you deserve to or not, basically, whatever door you're opening and stepping through that is going to lead you back to remembering how to love you, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you choose to do so and that you create the time and take the time and make the time to pour into you and take care of yourself out of respect for yourself. And that respect is what eventually blossoms into real self-love, which, like I always say, it is a state of being. It is not a destination. So all of that to say, I do have a poem for you today. This is kind of a two-part poem. I wrote the first half of it kind of more of like a journal entry years ago. I mean, maybe almost a decade ago. And the second half I wrote probably a few years ago, and I didn't actually put them together until more recently, because they were both about self-love. And then I realized it's kind of like, I felt like the second poem was really a reprise of the first. They're a little bit sing-songy and cheesy, but I feel like it kind of sums up all the things that I was just trying to say. So self-love, that's what I need, apparently. Love yourself, that's what they say to me, as if it's so simple, as if it's that easy. But I criticize what I see in the mirror, and I can't see others and not compare. Self-love sounds like another lie, another thing in life I'll fail if I try. Some cheesy bullshit, well, I don't buy. Love yourself, the concept, it sounds nice. I can't help but wonder what it must feel like. Reprise. Self-love is not a destination, and it is not black and white. It's choosing to believe you're worthy, even if seeing your worth is a fight. Living from self-love is a cognizant choice to give yourself grace to not minimize your voice. Self-love is stepping into this version of you, who is forged from all that you've faced, who is woven from all that you've been through. Without shame, despite fear, still insecure, fully here. Self-love is the decree. I respect you, but first and foremost, I respect me. Whatever place you're living in right now in regards to yourself and seeing yourself and loving yourself, it's okay. But I promise you, as I've said so many times, that if it is a more negative place, you don't have to stay there. And that is certainly not where you were made to be or live from. Okay, let's get into my list, shall we? So again, 10 things, and as I do, all of these practices or tasks or tangible tips, activities, whatever you want to call it, are rooted in some form of psychology or positive psychology. These are things that can truly help you to foster a healthier relationship with yourself and a deeper sense of self. So first, number one, writing a gratitude letter. You guys have heard me talk about gratitude journaling a million times, and this is a little bit different. The challenge here is to write a letter to yourself expressing gratitude for your qualities, accomplishments, and the challenges that you have overcome. Reflect on specifically your strengths and times you were resilient. I think that this is a very powerful journal prompt. There's so much in there that you can unpack. And instead of worrying about specifically what time in your life or where to start, truly start by exactly what I said, express gratitude for your qualities. So think about things that you do or have done, or qualities that you have or exemplify in your workplace or in your relationships that you are proud of. Are you a good listener? Are you there for your friends when they need you? Do you have a good work ethic? Identify at least one quality that you admire in yourself and start with that. I think saying thank you to your body is also a very, very powerful prompt that goes hand in hand with this. Only because there are so many of us who have been so inundated with diet culture bullshit, and we still have so many self-limiting beliefs that are rooted in feeling like however our physical body looks or is not good enough. And that's something that we can't fix unless, again, we identify that as well. So just saying thank you for all of those other things, but also kind of a part two to this is a gratitude letter for your physical body. Thank you for keeping me alive. Thank you to your heart for beating all day and night, 24/7. And thank you to your legs that they can carry you from place to place. I mean, really be granular about thanking your body for the miracle that it is and all of the functions that it has going on behind the scenes day in and day out to sustain you. So first task or challenge or activity, gratitude letter. Benefits of this, of course, increase self-awareness, enhances self-esteem, promotes a positive self-image. It can boost confidence and resilience, and it can foster self-compassion and understanding, because I think hindsight really can be 20/20, and there might be times in your life where you face something hard, or maybe you did something you're not proud of, or maybe you made a mistake. But looking back and identifying the things that you're grateful for that you've done can help you have empathy for the past versions of you. So, gratitude letter. Number two, this one is called a self-compassion break. Now let me explain. So practice a self-compassion break by acknowledging your struggles, recognizing that suffering is a part of the human experience, and offering yourself kindness and understanding. As I said, when you are reflecting, if you choose to do the gratitude letter to yourself, things might come up when you're looking back that are tougher. And if and when that happens, or if you want to just do this as a separate task in of itself, taking a self-compassion break by acknowledging those struggles and bringing understanding and remembrance to the mindsets that you lived in when you did or experienced certain things can be very powerful. If the person you loved very most in the world were to come to you and say, hey, I went through this, or I'm struggling on this level with this thing, or even I've made this mistake, you would not damn them. Your initial reaction would not be to judge them or cast them aside. You would show compassion and empathy, and you would seek to help them. And so this is about turning inward and giving yourself that same self-compassion that you often so automatically and easily extend to the people who you really, really love. Benefits include cultivating a kinder and more forgiving attitude towards yourself, reduces self-criticism, which is so key this day and age, and enhances emotional resilience, which is also huge. Number three. Okay, so this one is something that I am newer to doing this. Well, actually, it's something I did a lot as a little girl, but I'm just kind of coming back to it, which I think is amazing. A vision board. This is such a great idea, I feel like, for a self-love date or just for a way to spend some time with you. Create a vision board with images and words that represent your goals, aspirations, and self-love journey. Display it somewhere you can see it daily as a reminder of your worth and potential. This can include anything from trivial things to your deepest hopes and dreams. But when we put intention and get really clear on what we want in life, that is where manifestation begins. That is where the mindset shift of beginning to believe and know that you are worthy of all that you hope and dream can really begin. I think when I was little, I would save magazines and rip out things, and I was unintentionally making vision boards for my life all the time, decorating my binders, my lockers, you know, writing quotes and clipping out my favorite pictures. And it didn't have to make sense. It was just a hodgepodge of things that I loved. And it's so remarkable to look back on those days and truly see in my life how so much of that is now a part of my life and my reality. So a vision board, that is number three. Tip number four, or task number four, is a self-love affirmation jar. This one I think is also really cute to do just kind of on a date with yourself. So write down affirmations and positive messages about yourself or to yourself on small pieces of paper, place them in a jar, and pull out a message to uplift and inspire yourself. I would do this if you are going through a particularly challenging time, or create this jar now and save it for when you are in a rut or when you're feeling low. You guys know that I love affirmations and use them in many different ways, but a self-love affirmation jar, I think there's something powerful about seeing your own handwriting. And on a rough day, to be able to pull out a piece of paper with an encouraging note, not just from random person on the internet or something that you've seen that's uplifting, but a note that you wrote to yourself, ahead of knowing that because you are human, there will be ups and downs in life, and there will be a day where you feel down, or maybe that day is today. Writing those notes to yourself and being able to lean on you to get you through is a very powerful, beautiful thing. So self-love affirmation jar, benefits of this, I feel like this really rewires negative thought patterns. That's a lot of what affirmations do in general. And this in particular can help bolster self-confidence, promotes a healthier self-image, cultivates a mindset of self-acceptance and worthiness. You will never shift into believing and accepting that you are worthy of your dream life and of having peace and joy in life if you don't start somewhere doing the work to rewrite whatever it is in your mind that is keeping you from feeling or believing that. And that one, the self-love affirmation jar, is a great place to start. Okay, number five, this is perfect for today or this week, a pamper day. Now, day, I am aware that's very hard. It is very hard in these times to find a day for yourself, okay? So realistically, think more like a pamper hour, a pamper evening, maybe a morning, maybe an afternoon, but steal away some time for you, just like you would if it was an old friend who wanted to meet for a lunch date, or going on a date, or visiting a grandparent or a relative. I want you to carve out time just for you, to spend with you. And pamper yourself. This doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to mean spending a lot of money. It could be as simple as doing any type of a task that you actually enjoy, taking a long soak in the tub, but go over the top with it. Make it romantic. Put some flower petals in there. Make it full of yummy scented oils. Soak in there and listen to a podcast that's uplifting. Listen to your favorite music, or just meditate, but it can be anything. It can be anything from an at-home bath to a spa treatment, going for a walk in nature, indulging in one of your favorite activities, be that writing or painting or baking or whatever you enjoy. Pamper yourself. Create time and set aside time to have a date to do something for you that you enjoy, for no other reason but to spend time with yourself. Number six. Okay, so we're halfway through our list. If you don't have any of these that you think you'd enjoy yet, we still have five more to go. But again, I encourage you to try any or all of these this week or anytime, because all of them can make an impact if you are open to it. Okay, I had to plug that caveat because this one is going to be one that I think a lot of people might not love the sound of. I call this mirror work. Stand in front of a mirror and practice speaking kindly to yourself. Offer words of encouragement, love, acceptance, and here's the caveat, while maintaining eye contact with yourself. Yes, this feels so weird at first. If you've never used affirmations in a mirror, this type of mirror work where it's not just I am statements, but it's just standing there and looking at yourself in your own eyes is so powerful. And I remember the first time that I did this and I couldn't say anything. It was like I was bullying myself in my own head when I committed to doing it, because the second I started to stand there and look at myself, I almost quit. But I forced myself to, and it wasn't long until I was overcome with emotion. And then I started to realize, whoa, why is this so uncomfortable for me to do? Why is it that all of these negative thoughts are my automatic and coming to the forefront? And just standing there and doing this mirror work by simply looking at me, not to judge or shame my body or even look at my body, but look in my own eyes and just stand there and then practice speaking to myself kindly. It was a very powerful experience, and I would encourage you, especially if you feel like that is something you'd never in hell ever do, try me, because it can be very, very powerful and very healing. This one particularly helps you to confront and reframe negative self-perception and promote self-acceptance and self-compassion and, of course, develop self-love, which are all such powerful, necessary things. So mirror work. Number 7 on our list, a self-love playlist. I love music. The power of music is universal. It is transcendental. Take some time to create a playlist of songs that uplift and empower you, and listen to it whenever you need a mood boost or reminder of your worth. So I think it's therapeutic to create playlists for all kinds of moods, right? Everyone has their sad girl playlist, the songs that you just need when you need to go to cry it out. But this particular challenge is to create a playlist that makes you feel like a boss, that uplifts you to help you feel like the queen that you are, that helps you feel like you can conquer the world, really a mood boosting playlist. Some of the songs that are on mine, pretty much anything by Queen Herbie. I love you. Shout out, by the way. There's lots of Taylor Swift songs, shocker, that are on mine. Rise Up by Andra Day. We have, obviously, Unstoppable by Sia. Is it Sia or Sia? I'm not sure. There are so many random songs that I found just truly searching. I actually did this when I was creating my event playlist, because my event playlist is very much this. It's very much intentional and designed to make sure that all of the lyrics and the messaging behind every song is not only like a hype song to pump you up for a workout, but also empowering, because it needed to be purposeful. So when I was doing this, I literally would Google songs about being in your power, and I would listen to a bunch that I'd never heard of. And I found some gems. So all this to say, this is a fun task. You can do this anytime, anywhere, and then you can turn back to this. You can keep adding on this, but having an ultimate hype up playlist, phenomenal way to fall in love with yourself a little bit and take care of yourself. This obviously benefits, boosts mood, reduces stress, evokes positive emotions, and serves as a powerful tool for self-soothing. That's definitely what I found. Okay, number 8. So I mentioned this a little bit back on task number 1, which is the gratitude letter to yourself. More particularly, I put this on here as a love letter to your body. I had that kind of number two to the gratitude letter to yourself towards a gratitude letter for your body, but this is a love letter to your body. This is writing a love letter, expressing appreciation for all it does for you and reframing any negative thoughts or criticisms into messages of love and gratitude. This one, I want you to go deeper. I want you to identify things that you don't like about your body and why and where those are stemming from and try to reframe those. We can't ever release or reframe something until we understand what it is and where it's coming from and why we subscribe to it in the first place. So writing a love letter to your body. Number nine, a self-love jar. So this is similar to the affirmations one, but a little bit different. So fill a jar with notes containing self-care activities, compliments, and reminders to practice self-love. Pull out a note each day and commit to fulfilling it as a way to prioritize your well-being. So this is more of like, instead of just compliments to yourself and affirmations and things to boost your mood when you're down, this is kind of like a little challenge jar. So these are things I would put all of the other tasks on this list in my self-love jar and pull one out and as a challenge to yourself. Right? So they can be more granular things, things that don't take up as much time. I would put on things like make sure that you sit without your phone and really enjoy and savor your next meal, whatever you're going to eat. Things like saying a prayer. That can be however you pray, or if you don't pray, just a moment of gratitude towards the universe and yourself and your soul. Things that don't take up a whole day or a whole lot of time, but are littler ways to make sure that you're prioritizing you and checking in with you. So mirror work could go on this list, but create a self-love jar full of little or big tasks that you can pull out to challenge you to help you continue to work on your relationship with you. And last but absolutely not least, this is no one's going to be surprised by this, but connect to nature. Regardless where you live, if you're in a big city, find a park. But spending time in nature, whether it be for a hike, just sitting and meditating or looking at the sky, going on a walk, laying on the grass, whatever it might be, find nature and just spend time. There are so many benefits to this. So much science behind why it actually helps our brains and ourselves when we connect with nature. But this is one that, if you're not sure where else to start, is so simple and available and something that it can be 5 minutes, it can be 45 minutes, or as much time as you want. But doing this without distraction, I will say, don't go out to nature and just be on your phone the whole time. Keep your phone away and just be. Let your thoughts run wild. This is, I think, the best form of a moving meditation or a walking meditation is whenever you're in nature. When I am in nature, I like to meditate with my eyes open because I want to watch and I want to observe. And it's such a beautiful thing that happens, whether you're next to an ocean or a beach or a mountain or in a big city, just in a park, being outside and breathing fresh air and being amongst trees and flowers and grass and whatever vegetation is there, it is universally such a healing balm and so comforting and grounding and encouraging all at the same time. So that is my last self-care challenge or tip or task, is to spend time with yourself in nature. And you don't need to put any other pressure on it than that. So that's my list. Let's go through, and I'm just going to read one more time, top line 1 through 10. A gratitude letter, a self-compassion break, a vision board, self-love affirmation jar, pamper day or pamper date with yourself, mirror work, self-love playlist, love letter to your body, self-love jar with mini challenges, and connecting with nature. So at least one of those 10 things has got to resonate with you. If not, pick a random one. And I challenge you to do one of these things for yourself today and find ways that you might incorporate one or more of these ongoing with yourself, because, and I will end with this, your relationship with you is so foundational to not just who you are, but most importantly, how you view and see yourself frames how you view and see the world to such a large degree. It is the foundation for so many things. And I said in the beginning that I do know and understand that it is absolutely possible to love someone truly and deeply before you might have a healthy relationship with you. But I also know that once you do, and when you do learn to prioritize or reprioritize or come back to a healthy place with you and your relationship with yourself, it will only ever enhance every other relationship in your life. It will only ever expand your ability to be a better mother and partner and sister and daughter and friend and all of the other roles and relationships that you have in your life. Taking care of yourself and remembering what it feels like and doing the work to get back to a place where you are living from self-love, it is never, ever selfish. It is imperative. It is needed. Being confident in who you are, it is never conceited. I promise you that there is no more important work that you can do than coming home a little bit more to you. So with that, happy Valentine's Day. I hope that you are filled with love.